Thank you, Miss Christie. 1 John chapter 1. I was going to start a series of messages in May. May came early for me, so here I is. And pastor's up at his father's and doing some moving. Not he himself, and with his brother, so up there helping. So pray for him as he's away. And I love it when he's away, though, because I get to preach. And he called me whatever day it was this week, and we're at Wednesday, I said, this week. So he said, hey, would you consider starting your series early? He said, I'll give you an extra week. That's like saying, hey, I was going to give you $5, but now I'm going to give you $10. That's a good deal. Yeah, sure will. So we'll preach a five-week series, and you'll probably be tired of me next week. And a series on living in the light, And we'll take our text tonight from 1 John chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess, there's a couple ifs in here, by the way. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, oh man, this is a dangerous one, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So after we pray, we'll begin a series of lessons on living in the light. And tonight we'll be talking about living in the light is revealing. It's revealing, and how it reveals sin and how it reveals who we truly are. After we pray, Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. And God, how good you have been to us, to give us the rain, God, to give us the sunshine, to give us this church. Father, we're very thankful for all that you do. And Lord, there's many things we don't even see or give attention to that you do. And we're thankful for everything. God, we're thankful for the trials you send our way that make us better, and Lord, that try us. And Lord, you said we come forth as gold. And Father, we ask that tonight you would take your word and that you would multiply it upon our hearts. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me. God, I yield myself to you, to your Holy Spirit. Father, to your word tonight, I ask that I would not be a stumbling block, but Lord, that I would just be a vessel, an instrument of righteousness in your hand. And God, I pray that there would be hearers here tonight that would be earnestly listening. And Father, that they'd open their hearts and receive your word with gladness. Father, we love you tonight. Ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Living in the light is revealing. A couple songs that you know, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Another song says, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. I was teaching today at the seminary, and this message kept coming out, and so I couldn't help it. It was in me, and so it was coming out. And so I began to talk to our seminary students. We were having prayer class today, and I was talking to them about stuff that had nothing to do with prayer today. But I told them, I said, if y'all pray more, I would stay more on the subject. And so they knelt down. They started fasting right there. I was telling them is that if you could imagine is that where God is where light is. God is in a circle of light. God is in He is light. The Bible says God is light. He can't be nothing other than light. He can't be dark. He can't have darkness to him. He can't have a shadow to him, because he is light. And that's who he is. And you as a child of God and me as a child of God must live in this circle of light. And we must live within that circle. Matter of fact, if you study prayer, that's where prayers are answered. That's where God hears our prayer, when we're living in that circle of light. When we're living in darkness, that's where sin is. That's where Satan abounds. That's his kingdom. That's his world. I want to live in the light because I want to have fellowship with my Lord, and I want to have time of prayer where I can speak to him. But if you could imagine if this auditorium was super dark tonight, and that I took a flashlight and I shined it on the ground, it would illuminate a circle on the ground. And everything outside of that circle is darkness, but that is inside of that cavity of that light, or that shadow of that light, or that ray of light is in light, right? That's where the child of God is supposed to live. Matter of fact, when you live in the light, that's where you live victorious. When you live in the light, that's where you live more abundantly. When you live in the light, that's when heaven comes down and you live it on earth. By the way, I don't think you have to wait to heaven to live like you're in heaven. Matter of fact, you read the Sermon on the Mount. It's about kingdom living. It's about you can do it now, and you don't have to wait till then. So I want to live in light, but I have to ask myself, and I'll ask you, what is light? What is light? Well, the Bible tells us that God is light. So I said in our text, go back if you will, verse 5 there. It says right toward the end, it says God maybe is light, sometimes is light. No, God is light. That's his characteristic. That's who he is. It's just as if he's Elohim, or he's El Shaddai, or whatever name you give him. That's who he is. That is the characteristic of him. He is love. God is the Father, but he is love. He cannot be any other. There's not any day in our life we live in darkness. Sometimes we live in light. Sometimes God cannot do that. That's why when all the sins, all the wrath of God was placed upon Jesus Christ, God himself had to turn his back on his son, and the earth fell dark. Why? Because the light had to turn away. He had to turn away in his righteousness and his holiness because he couldn't look upon sin. Well, the Bible says Jesus is the light. Matter of fact, Jesus himself said it. Matter of fact, if Jesus said it himself about that he was light, I believe he's light. In John chapter 8 verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus." Oh, here we go. As Brother Barber says, here we go quoting Jesus again. "Again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In other words, Jesus said, you follow me, you stay within the boundaries I've set up for your life. And that means you live outside of sin and not in sin. Amen. I live inside the light. He says, if you follow me, he says, he shall not walk in darkness, shall not walk in darkness. Well, not only is God light, not only is Jesus light, but the Bible says that it's light. I believe you know a psalm that says 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and what? A light unto my path." Well, also, if you look in 2 Corinthians, you can write this down. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of" what? "The glorious gospel," the light of the glorious gospel, "shine unto them." And he says of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so that's what light is. You say, how do I live in light? Well, you live in fellowship with God. You live in fellowship with the Word of God. You live in fellowship with the Son of God. And when you do that, you keep your fellowship right. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. You live in light. I don't know about you. When I was a kid, I thought that my covers protected me from the darkness. As a kid. Don't look at me. Some of y'all still are. And I thought that as far as I could get it up, nothing could hurt me from there down, right? The only thing that was vulnerable was my nose. I had to stick it out because I had to breathe. And my head, right? But I felt that when the lights went off, I felt that I was vulnerable. And I felt that something could attack me. But I tell you what, I like light. I like to have the light on. And now I don't, right? I like to sleep now. So when the light goes off, my body goes, oh, we're going to bed, right? And so when you think about living in the light, like a child likes to live in the light, I don't want to live a cockroach life. Amen? I don't want to live a cockroach life. I want to live a life that is lived in the sunlight of Jesus Christ and in the sunlight of the Word of God. I want to live in the light of God. I don't want to live whenever somebody flips a light on, I run. Why don't they come to church? They're scared of light. Why don't they read their Bible? They're scared of light. Why don't somebody want you to talk to them about Jesus? Because they don't want to know about light. People are allergic to light. Well, let me give you some things about living in light. Let me give you the first thing. When you live in light, living in light, you'll find factuality. That's a fancy word for facts. I found that in the dictionary today. Factuality. You find that in verse 6 and verse 8 and verse 10. Let's look at those verses. Notice what it says in verse 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and there are people that say that, and they walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So here's what the Scripture is telling us, is that you're going to ask somebody, and they're going to say, yeah, I'm with the Lord. I walk with the Lord. But yet they are in darkness. And guess what you just did? You just lied. The fact of your life is that you don't live in light, you live in darkness. And matter of fact, the book of 1 John is the test to see who is living in the light and who is living in the darkness. And it gives you that test through here, and I'm not going to go through that because I know it'll be preached on later on. But I want you to notice in verse 8, if you will, notice this. He says, if we say we have no sin, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm sinless. You a liar. Notice what it says. It says, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Hey, listen to me. I'm being nice so far because this message hit me. Is that whenever that message is preached and the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, you know you ought to come down to the altar and get things right, and you don't, you're saying to God, I'm all right. I'm all right. I don't need to get rid of that sin. Why? Because I like it. Hello. I mean, that's what he's saying, is that whenever the Holy Spirit of God, when you live in the light, it's going to show you who you are. Remember, it's revealing. It's factual. In other words, when you get in the light, it shows you you are wrong and God is right. It shows you that you are sinful and that God is holy and righteous and altogether. That's who He is. I'd rather just stay over here in the darkness. Right? You know the problem with most people, including me? You hang out in the darkness, you compare yourself with people that are already in the darkness. If me and Brother Sheila are hanging out in the darkness, I'm going to compare myself to him and say, I'm not that bad. But buddy, you step over here in the light and you can't see that darkness anymore. And all you see is the righteousness of God and you see the Word of God and you go, woe is me. I believe Isaiah did that. Woe is me, a man of unclean lips. I'm sinful. Paul did it several times. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Why? Because he saw the glory of God through the Word of God. And he said, wow, I'm filthy, I'm dirty. And Paul said that. I know what I am. If Paul's the chiefest, I don't know what's above a chief. But I'm there. I'm a chief of the chiefest of chiefs. That's who I am. Now notice what we're seeing in the Scripture here. Notice verse 10. He says, if we say that we have not sinned, you're acting like a child. Brody, did you do that? No, Daddy. Did you write on the wall? No, sir, Daddy. What's that on your hands? I don't know. How'd that marker get on your hand? I don't know. Guess what he just did? He just lied. But guess what? The proof is there. By the way, the proof is in our lives. You can say, yeah, you know, I love the Lord and never read your Bible. It's going to come out. Be sure your sins will find you out. Matter of fact, I believe that a lot of times we tell on our own self. And I'm not going to get into that. Keep going, Michael. When you live in the light, you find that find factuality. You'll find the facts that you are a sinner. You were born a sinner, but also you'll find that God is holy and that He is righteous and He can be nothing other than that because He is light. In other words, when you get into the light, it shows you who you are. By the way, you live in darkness, that's who you think you are. When you live in light, that's who you truly are. That's why people like living over here in the dark. Right? By the way, why do criminals like darkness? Right? They can hide in it. You know, they don't like it when you got that porch light on. They don't like it when the light is shown on them. We'll read it here in a little bit, but men love darkness rather than light. And because their deeds are evil. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 13 says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light.
For whosoever doeth make manifest is light. Now notice what he said, that when you live in light, that things are made manifest. I don't know about you, but whenever I go to the doctor and I feel like I am sick inside and he does a scan on me, I want him to use the best imaging he can use. I want him to know, I want him to send me through that PET scan or that MRI or whatever I may be going through, because I want him to look within the minute parts of my body and see if there's a speck of something in there, right? But why don't we do that to God? We treat God like a veterinarian clinic. Let's use that $29.95 x-ray. Oh, didn't see anything. Okay, I'm good. But Jesus said, if you live in the light, it's going to show you the factuality of who you are and who I am. It hurts, doesn't it, to live in the light? When you start reading the Word of God and it starts convicting you, oh, it hurts so bad. But I'm telling you what, you hang in there and you'll see God begin to bless your life and your life begin to mature in the Lord Jesus Christ and wean you off that bottle and put some meat in your mouth and put some meat in your spiritual life. The Bible says that, matter of fact, turn over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, I want us to read this one. John chapter 3, and let's look at verse 19. John chapter 3, verse 13. John chapter 3, and verse 19. That was a different message. Notice what verse 19 says. We'll read to verse 21. The Bible says, verse 19, John 3, 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." That's why they didn't like Jesus. He was shining too much light on the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the other seas. And they didn't like that. They're like, whoa, wait a minute. This guy's got, at 12 years old, they knew he had something about him that was different than everybody else at that time. It was the light of God. It was the light of the Word of God. It was the light of our Creator shining into them. Now notice what happens in verse 20. It says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light." Hello? Why is the world against us? They don't like light. Right? That's why Friday nights and Saturday nights are the busiest times at a bar. Why? Because it's dark. Why is it that? Because people want to hide in the darkness. By the way, unfortunately, I've been in a bar before. I had to go in there and pick people up off the floor when I worked EMS. And I've never seen a very well-lit bar. Hello. I've been in the casino picking up people by EMS. Hello. I've not been in there playing the slot machines very much. I was there for the buffet. But I heard they're free. No, I'd go in there when I worked in Alabama, we had one of those casinos there. I'd go in there, you know, it's the same way. Why is that? Because they want to hide in the darkness. They want to hide in the shadow. Now look at what he says, that they hate the light. "Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be" what? "Reproved." People don't want to know who they truly are. People want to think that they're all right. That's why when you ask somebody, if you were to die today, do you know for sure, 100% sure that you'd die and go to heaven? Well, people don't like to be confronted with eternity. Why? Because they have to be confronted with who they are. And by the way, before somebody gets saved, they have to get lost. That's the hardest thing, is to help somebody show them that they're lost. Now look at verse 21. It says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Now, when you live in the light, you will find factuality. Now, let me keep going. Number two, you'll find forgiveness. Verse 9. Notice verse 9, if you will. You'll find forgiveness. Now, factuality, that means you'll find out who you are. When you find out who you are, the next step is to ask for forgiveness for who you are. I'm not talking about the lost person. I'm talking about the saved, born-again child of God. That's who 1 John, 2 John, 3 John is addressed to the child of God. That's why he says, "Little children, I write unto you." He referring to the children of God. He's saying that as children of God, we're sinners still, right? That we still sin, but there is a remedy for the Christian when he sins. Hello? That was pretty good news, I thought. That's kind of like saying you have cancer and I have the cure for it. That's like saying you have a disease that's ailing your body and God says, "I have a cure for it." Even as a Christian, it may not be a sin unto death, but it is a sin that breaks your fellowship and it breaks your time with God. Now notice what you'll see here in verse 9. You'll find forgiveness. He says, if, by the way, it is conditional, right? If we, now notice what he says, confess our sins. He is faithful. I love that. I'm glad God's always there. Wouldn't it be bad is that if you said, Lord, I've sinned again, but I don't know if you're going to forgive this one. I don't know if you're even there. I'm glad I can go before Him and say, God, I've sinned against you. And Lord, here's my sin. Will you forgive me? And God is faithful. Amen. Now notice the second word. He's just. He's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 9 is conditioned on the rest of the chapter. When you live in the light, He reveals who you are. He shows you the factuality of who you are. He shows you exactly your sin. And when you see your sin, you go, wow. The other day, I get dressed. I get up real early and go to the school. And I don't turn on all the lights because I don't want to wake her up unless I want to aggravate her. And if I do, I sit there, play the light show for her. And when she wakes up, she goes, she don't know where she's at. I love that. And then sometimes I hide on the side of the bed, you know, just kind of reach up there and, you know, scared to death. But I hadn't done that in a long time. But sometimes she don't even know I'm doing it. She's still asleep. But the other morning, I didn't want to wake her up. This was just last week. I didn't want to wake her up. And so I'm in there, and I put my socks on, put my pants on, put my belt on, put my clothes on, get to the school. And I turn on all the lights in the school, and I'm walking down there. I'm like, what in the world is going on here? I had like 3 different colors on. You know what I'm saying? One sock was blue, one was black. I can't remember what color my pants were. I'm wearing the wrong belt. All because I tried to get dressed in the dark. But when I got to the school and I began to flip on all those incandescent lights, right? Those beaming lights. I looked down and I was like, it revealed to me that what I did in the darkness was wrong. Hello? When you come to the light, we started putting LED lights in our house because still with some of the, you know, halogen bulbs and things like that, it's hard to tell sometimes between blue and black. Boy, you put those LED bulbs in there, you can see who made it. I mean, if there's signatures on there somewhere, you can tell the thread count. Those lights are so bright. That's where I want to live. I want to live where the light is the brightest so it shows me who I am. So when I see who I am, I can say, God, forgive me for who I am. Notice what he said. He broke this up. He said he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That is that which he revealed to us in the light. God in the light revealed to us that, Michael, you did this and you need to ask for forgiveness for that. I believe that we ought to name them one by one. I believe you ought to name your sins. What God reveals to you, you ought to go to Him and say, God, if you say, I'll make up something silly so it don't really offend anybody, but, you know, I use too much toothpaste on my toothbrush. And God revealed that to me, then I go to God and I say, God, forgive me for using too much toothpaste on my toothbrush. I heard this illustration not too long ago. It says, you know, kind of like in our house, we just take all of our clothes and put them in one basket, right? Well, when my wife goes to get them ready to go in the washer, what does she do? She separates them, right? She separates the whites over here, dress pants over here, dress shirts over here, you know, the towels over here, and all that. She separates them. Why is that? Because they wash better when you break them apart. You don't wad your clothes up and tie them up in a knot, throw them in there. Because why? It's going to miss some spots, right? You separate them. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to say, hey, this is a specific sin I did, and I'll forgive you for it. Ask me. Here it is, God. Forgiven. Here's another one. Forgiven. Here's another one. But God also says at the end of that verse, He says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's sometimes I forget some things I've done. And God says, you know what? If you those things I show you in the light, if you'll ask for forgiveness for that, I'll cleanse all that other stuff for free. I like free stuff. I was at Kroger yesterday. I'm a sucker for free. Ladies coming down now, my wife can tell you. Coming down now, she says, we're giving away free stuff on aisle 49. I'm on my way. I realized when I got over there, I was the only man over there. And I realized that it said beauty products. I was like, man, I'm a sucker. She said, now, come over here and put your finger on the table. If you put your finger on the table, in the next 5 seconds, you get the free gift. I don't know what this free gift is, but I'm enticed. So I put my finger on the table as the only man, because I was man enough to do it. Then I asked the lady, I said, is this girly products? She said, yeah, but you can give it to your wife or to your daughter. I was like, okay. Is it free? Yes, it's free. Now, I knew one thing was free and one was not. The most expensive thing was not going to be free. I realized that. So I kept my finger on there. She said, here's your free gift. She gave me a stain-removing pen. Hallelujah. You know what I needed? I needed a stain-removing pen. I wear a suit almost every day in my life. I needed a stain-removing pen. Thank you, Jesus, for that free gift. But wait a minute. It's not over yet. There's more. There's a flat iron. I don't know what you do with a flat iron. Can you make French toast with that? I don't know. Can you prod cattle with that? I don't know. Can you make grilled cheeses with that? Probably so. So she's like, and she had me when she said, this is $200. I was like, yeah, see you later. She's like, but wait. I was like, whoa. Put my finger back on that table. Because here comes some more freebies, right? Yeah, I walked out of there broke. I was the only guy that brought anything. The rest of the people didn't buy anything. I bought the flat iron for my daughter because it was 85% off. Thank God for Google. I was Googling it real quick to make sure she wasn't lying. And she wasn't. And I could only get it at Kroger. Nowhere else do they sell. I know they don't sell that thing nowhere else because that lady was there. And she did it on her own hair. She looked at me and said, this is probably not going to work for you. I said, hallelujah. It was pink anyway. I wouldn't use it anyway. But my daughter's used it already. But I like free stuff, don't you? I love when things are truly are free. By the way, salvation is truly free. Jesus said that if you come to me and those things that I revealed to you in light, if you'll ask for forgiveness for those things, I'll clean that other stuff up for you too. Oh, glory. I love it when that happens. I love it when you're at the barber shop and you're sitting in the chair and they clip your hair. They say, today, I'll wash your hair for free. Hallelujah. Let's go. I love for somebody else to wash my hair. Why? Because I don't want to reach up there. I'm too lazy. I love when things come with a little extra. Isn't it amazing what God said? That if you'll just confess those things that I revealed to you in the light, I'll take care of all those other things you might have forgot about. Those things maybe you didn't do that you should have done. I'll forgive all your sin. Hallelujah. Know about you, but I like walking out of somewhere knowing I'm clean. Yeah, I'm talking spiritually. When I walk away from God and I've been with God, communing with Him, and I'm asking Him to forgive me and He forgives me, and I walk away and I'm thinking, did I get everything? He says, oh, I got everything. I'm very thankful for that. Sin reveals who we truly are. It reveals sin. And Jesus said, I'll forgive that sin. Let me give you the last thing. By the way, let me say this just real quick. When sin is revealed, one or two things happen. Number one, we run to forgiveness, or we run back to the darkness. Right? We either run to forgiveness when our sin is made manifest, or we run back to the darkness. You're either a cockroach, right? Uh-oh, light. Go back in the wall. Go back and hide. Or you're the one that runs to the light. That was the two people that were talked about earlier. Let me give you the last thing. When you live in the light, living in the light, you'll find not only forgiveness, but you'll find fellowship. Notice back in verse 3, if you will, verse 3. Verse 3 and verse 7 both tell us about fellowship. And that's the key word of 1 John. But notice verse 3. It says, that we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says in verse 7. He says, but if we walk, now it's conditional, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We can find fellowship in light. I just thought of this today. Somebody had asked me a while back, what is fellowship? I thought about this. I said, you know, really, it's just two fellows in a ship. You ever thought about that? Fellowship. There's just two fellows in a ship. They're going the same way, and they're communing with each other. Hallelujah. That's what I'm doing. That's what I want to do with my Heavenly Father. I want to be in the same boat He's in. If he hops in another boat, I want to go with Him, because I know if I'm with Him, I'm in the place of safety. I know that I'm in the place of grace. I know that I'm in the place of light. And so what is fellowship? We share a common bond in the time of fellowship. That's where I want to be tonight. I want to be in fellowship with Jesus. I want to be in fellowship. By the way, look at the example Jesus set for us. He stayed in fellowship with His Father while He was here on earth. How did He do that? He did that through prayer. By the way, it'd do us all good just to stop sometimes and just have fellowship with God. Today I teach prayer class, and I tell the guys and the ladies, I said, you know, the problem with prayer a lot of times is, well, number one, we don't do it. But number two, we don't stop after we pray and let God answer. We're too busy asking. God, give me this, do this. God, do this, this. And then we're gone. When the Bible says, be still. Know that I am Lord. Know that I am God. Just be still. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Sometimes it's just good just to stop and fellowship with God and say, God, you got anything to tell me today? He'll say, open up my word, I'll show you. I tell our guys all the time, I say, you know, prayer is us talking to God, and God's word is God talking to us. He speaks to us through His word. His word is that glass that we look into, that mirror we look into, and it shows us who we are. Sin breaks fellowship with God. God is light, and He can have no part of darkness. We should desire to fellowship with our Heavenly Father because He desires to fellowship with us. He created us for His good pleasure. What does that mean? He wants to fellowship with us. What would it be like if me and Donya were married, almost 20 years, and I never fellowship with my wife? My marriage is going to suffer. Correct? Your marriage will suffer. But we fellowship. And we as Baptists fellowship a lot around the table and with food in between us because food makes everybody happier. Hallelujah. Especially if it's Brother Shuler cooking barbecue. We're all happy. But I want to say that I want to have fellowship with God. I want to have true fellowship with God. Go over to chapter 2 real quick and I'm done. Chapter 2 and verse 15. And here's how we keep in fellowship with God. Here's how we stay. Matter of fact, if you're in darkness, you have no fellowship with God. If you're in light, you have fellowship with God. But notice what he says in verse 15 of chapter 2. He says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Right? Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. He says the world passes away. And so he's telling us in 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John is telling us that if we want to have fellowship, we cannot fellowship with the world. That's pretty simple. We want to live in light, and I do. And I know you do too. That's all of our desire is to live in the light and have fellowship with God. You know what? Every day of Adam and Eve's life, their desire was to walk with the Lord. And have fellowship with Him. What broke their fellowship with the Lord? Sin did. What breaks our fellowship with the Lord? Sin does. By the way, I believe this with all my heart. Is that I believe every child of God should have a desire to live in the light. And if you don't have that desire to live in the light, man, check your heart. Something's not right in there. I desire it. Now, by the way, I fail. And I slip back into darkness and I'm glad God pulls me back in through His Word and through conviction in my life. We have the Holy Spirit now, don't we? And the Holy Spirit helps us stay in the light and plants us in the light. And I hope that your desire that through these series of lessons that you'll want to live in the light. I want to live there because that's where God is. Hello? I don't know about you, but I don't like darkness. I'm scared. Right? I don't care how manly you are. You're scared of something. And usually it revolves around darkness. Don't you love whenever it's real dark and you sneak up on somebody? Shows you they are scared. You scare them. Now you want to be within fist throwing distance of them. But all of us as Christians should desire to live right in the light. And tonight, if you want to live in the light, you get there through forgiveness. You say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, show me my sin. And forgive me of my sin. That's where I want to live. I want to live right in the will of God. I want to live right in the sunlight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand tonight. Brother Tim comes. We'll have a moment of invitation. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for loving us. Father, thank You for
the light that we have through your word, through your son. Father, help us all to have a desire to live in the light as you are in the light. You are light. Father, tonight that if we as Christians would live in the light, how we could affect this world, because you would affect our lives. Father, help us all to have that desire tonight. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that maybe has some things in their life that's caused them to live in darkness, I pray, God, tonight would be the night they come and get it right with you. Maybe every Christian here should come, Lord, and just make sure that, Lord, all's forgiven. And, Lord, just make sure the slate is clean so they can live in the light. Lord, thank you so much for tonight. I ask you to bless now in Jesus' name. Hymn 155, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, as Brother Tim begins to say.